Welcome to Sci-Fi in Color, the podcast about science fiction, TV, and film featuring actors, directors, and writers of color. My name is Maggie.
And I'm Melissa. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at sfincolor@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Tumblr, and Twitter as SF in Color.
And today we're talking about Sense8 Season 2, Episode 6, Isolated Above, Connected Below, a.k.a. the Wachowskis' excuse to just, like, film random strangers talking to each other's ears all over the globe and make it look beautiful.
Yep, basically.
I actually really enjoyed this episode, actually.
This is just their love episode.
Sorry?
This is just their love episode.
I know! It made me feel the feels. I was like, I'm shipping everyone. Everyone is, like, you know, with their significant other. While I am sad and lonely. But, you know, it's nice to see that on screen. But also, yeah, I mean, it was very much about connectedness. Like, literally, right, that was a theme with, like, that weird underground network thing that they had
right, exactly.
going on. It's all, literally all the human connection, as Sense8 is all about. That was kind of cool.
I liked this episode, though it wasn't anything what I expected.
What did you expect?
I feel like after last episode where things were kind of happier, I was expecting things to go really dark and really action-packed.
Yeah, I always see that. We talked about this before, right? Whenever something gets really happy, I start getting scared. Because, like, something's gotta balance a seesaw, you know? Like,
yeah,
I'm not feeling like it can't all be happiness because something it's like, dark and gloomy sometimes. But I think the dip is going to come, like, next episode.
Yeah, I guess that's fine and that'll work, but I really expected it this episode. I expected, like, darkness and sadness, and I got love, and I was pleasantly surprised.
And perhaps bad choices. Perhaps bad choices.
Depending on who you talk to.
Right, what?
Depending on who you talk to.
Right, because, I mean, we'll get to Kala, but we'll get to Kala.
Kala.
That's what I'm thinking about right now, anyway. So, isolated above, connected below. I guess that's just straight out a quote from Mr. Hoy, is it? Was it just him saying hi in a Scottish accent, or was it legit Hoy? I could not tell.
I just called him the old man.
the old man. I don't know, I really enjoyed his character. I hope we see more of him. I think we will,
because
he has a name, and, like, the fact that we got his name multiple times upon meeting him is, like, a good sign. I mean, he's probably going to stick around for a bit.
It seems like he is there to replace Jonas.
I like him more than Jonas. Jonas was too, like, nebulous for me.
No, I like him more than Jonas as well.
And he's also, like, I just think he's funnier. Anything to bring levity to this show is a good thing.
Yes, I completely agree.
Yeah. So the beginning, I thought the music was almost reminiscent of the music from this film called Super 8 that came out in, like, 2011. Completely random. I don't really know if anyone else has seen the film. It was, like, it did okay. But I don't think it's, like, a super well-known blockbuster or anything. I'm trying to remember what was going on with that. Sometimes I write down notes, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm even referring to, like, what scene, because, especially with Sensei, because there's, like, too much going on at the same time, so
right,
I don't know,
exactly.
I can never track where we are.
The thing is, I liked the beginning of this episode, mm-hmm. because it felt very much like a reaction to the previous episode. It felt very continuous.
Yeah,
and
yeah, themes are connected, things are happening.
Yeah, it was connected, but it was almost, like, a lot of the first scenes for each of the characters were direct effects of things that happened.
Right, because Leo's
like, son
talking about his decision to go to Apollo. Caffius talks about, you know, what happened at the office. Well, he doesn't want to talk about it, more like she talks to him about it, but, you know, what happened to the office plus the political talk thing that happened.
Right.
Everything is, you know, all the plot.
Yeah, exactly.
Forward,
and, you know, Sun leaves because of, I think, kind of what happened.
Right. Yeah. So, the thing with Riley and Will on the train at the beginning was, I wrote down K-drama kissing because it kind of reminded me, the way they shot the kissing scene, it was very, like, K-drama, where it's like, let's show them kissing from multiple angles, slow-mo, like, the whole shebang. And I was like, this is taking me back to, like, K-drama land right now. It wasn't as dramatic and cheesy, but it was getting there.
But, I mean, they were moving their lips.
Dang.
Anyway.
No, that's true.
But it was nice to kind of emphasize how Will's kind of feeling, you know, alone when he's taking, like, the suppressants.
Oh. I didn't get that, but that makes sense. I think that totally went over my head.
So,
I don't know how that went over my head, but it did.
Because, like, they were switching places when they were kissing.
Oh, they weren't? Right.
They were. So, it was before he was going to take his meds.
Oh. See, what kind of made me think of... Because this is that... Okay, so a line from a previous episode has been echoing around in my head. And I've been thinking about this in regards to Will and Riley and to a bit, like, Kala and Wolfgang. But, you know, that line that someone said that, like, you know, love within a cluster is, like, what, narcissistic or, like, not somehow lesser, right? It just made me think, oh, like, is that what they're talking about when you're saying that, like, oh, it's, like, not the same when we're just, like, regular kissing in real life and not switching, you know? Because Riley even says that later. She's like, oh, this kind of feels like how, like, maybe this is, like, what older
couples feel like
when they've kissed a lot. But we talked about this, too, in a previous episode where it's kind of, like, maybe it's, like, because it's, like, the mental expression of kissing is kind of, like, them imagining all the best parts of kissing, so they're not actually experiencing, like, the actual kiss, right?
Yeah.
Whereas it's, like, you know, that whole fantasy thing that Wolfgang's talking about, right? Like, you know, should be living in fantasy. Fantasy feels way better than, like, reality. It all ties in! But you see what I mean? Like, that got me thinking about that, too, because I wonder if it's, like, one of those situations where it's, like, and this could apply to Wolfgang and Kala, like, where it's, like, oh, it's so, everything's so, like, heightened and, like, feels so much nicer in that fantasy land, but, like, once you get to real life, it's not as strong or whatever. Does that make sense? Their connection or whatever? Not that I don't want to ship it, but I'm just saying, like, you know, there are potential issues with this whole, we need the connection for us to have this strong...
I definitely understand that. I think...
I don't know. It's hard. It's that important to the storyline, honestly. Because it doesn't... Like, it's not... I don't think there's, like, a way to cut off connection other than blockers, right? So it doesn't seem to be an issue. Because it's not like someone would get cut off from the connection and then be forced to somehow make a relationship work without them having that sense of connection, right? So it's not that important, but it's kind of an interesting idea. It kind of reminds me
they have
me
a heightened
bit...
connection.
Sorry?
They have a heightened connection, and...
Right.
It definitely probably adds to the allure of their relationship, certainly.
Sure.
But it also, I think... I mean, in some ways, it probably makes it more difficult, mm-hmm. because you know... a lot more about the, like, how the person feels.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to, like, imagine.
God, I can't imagine breaking up with someone with, like, that. That'd be so bad.
Oh, yeah.
It would just
God.
Be Kala and Wolfgang, like, times 10, right? She's like, oh, I love you, but I have to go away. It's like, I don't know about that. And even after they die, they still have that weird ghost connection thing, so that wouldn't work either. It's like gross. It's like Ghost Rider all over again.
Oh, yeah.
Although, you know what also, just this line of discussion has kind of made me think about is, like, how, you know how the people are with, like, kind of like, have you seen Catfish? Like, either the movie or, like, the TV show?
A little bit, yeah.
It's, like, kind of reminds me of, like, how much people invest in, it's not the same, obviously, but it has a bit of a connection to, like, say, like, online relationships where you, where it's, like, people, I guess, project a lot onto these images of a person they might not actually ever, you know, speak to or video chat with, but they only have pictures and, you know, typed words and whatever. It's interesting. Anyway,
that's
That's completely different from what the sensates are, because it's almost the exact opposite. They're, like, they're actually connected, and they do know a lot about each other, and just, like, like, who they are as people, right? Like, intrinsically who they are. Whereas it's, like, kind of the opposite with, like, being in like, that kind of catfish type online relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry. But it still has... I went, like, way off, but I think that's kind of an interesting thing, because there is some connection to, you know, the old man talks about how, you know, in the 90s, the, the sapiens invented Google or something, but we have Google or whatever. Anyway, just a bunch of threads my brain's connecting together that I thought were kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you have anything to add to that, or if you want to move on to a different topic.
I did, but I've already forgotten it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just didn't want to slow down because I didn't want to lose my train of thought. I'm sorry for cutting yours off.
That's okay. The Google analogy is interesting.
Not great. But
not, yeah.
Doesn't really make sense when you think more about it. I think I see it more as a... Google will not be the right website. Yeah. It would have to be a different website or a different analogy. But I understand the internet section of it.
I think it's more like Yahoo Asks.
Yo, shout out to Yahoo Asks. Oh my god. Only early 2000s kids. That's so cool.
What are you talking about?
You know what I mean?
That site is still really cool.
Yeah, but like no one uses it anymore.
Yeah, unless you're looking for answers to homework problems.
Oh my god. Listen, man. I remember I got into it. I don't know if I was texting or emailing someone else from school about them putting up something on Yahoo Answers about a particular question, but like this definitely happened.
I was always so thankful.
What?
I was always so thankful when AP chemistry questions were there.
Yeah, I guess it's more like, in terms of like the whole analogy with Sensei, I think it'd be more like crowdsourcing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, it was more like a complicated game of telephone that just looks really visually cool, but, you know, same difference really. Sensory. I can't, every time they bring up real life stuff in this universe, yes. I just can't. Like, whenever they start to, like, they start talking about, like, the NATO or the Warsaw Pact or whatever, I'm like, please stop. Like, no.
No, it's very awkward. It doesn't really make...
It doesn't...
I mean, it makes sense.
Stop trying to pretend that this is, like, actually happening in real life. Like, just stop.
Yeah, it's not an equivalent, and it's... I don't think it really...
It's just distracting.
...works to be played that way.
Yeah, it just sounds like more crazy conspiracy theories, but, you know, that's the Matrix for you, right? So...
Yeah, I guess it's probably... you know, on par with what we should expect, but it's...
It still takes me out of it, because then I just...
Yeah, because I'm like, wait, this makes no sense.
Yeah, no. Stop trying to make this make sense. It doesn't make sense. It's inherently nonsensical.
Stop trying to make fetch happen.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah, because they were comparing it to, like, how humans are so cruel to other humans, so can you imagine how they'd be to...
Well, yeah, I mean, come on, guys. But Archie, I don't know, it's weird, because, like, this show has this weird interplay where it's, like, human together and connectedness, but also we hate each other and we'll destroy each other. I'm like, you want to, like, pick one side and defend your thesis, sir? Like, come on, man! You know what I mean? It tries to do this thing where it tries to be, like, human togetherness, but also human divisiveness. And I'm like,
I get it, because... Like, there is that sense of duality in this world.
Sure.
So I do understand where they're coming from,
sure.
but
at the same time, sometimes.
It doesn't really make a lot of sense because, yeah, they should stick to one idea, but also, they are kind of projecting two different ideas, which is that humans have always been mean to other humans, and then also that the sensori have always existed as a secret.
But so dumb.
Because if they've always existed as a secret, how could they not have existed? Or how did either nobody know about them? Mm-hmm. And how do you argue with confidence that no historical events have been affected by these sensori existing?
Yeah, that's so dumb. Especially when they start talking about, oh, like, we made an agreement that they would never be used for military purposes. I'm like... Are you freaking Joshy Man, like, the first thing anyone would do with any type of superhero or superpower like this would be to use it for military purposes. What are you talking about? That's literally, like, the number one thing people would try to take advantage of, you know?
Right.
Or like, not number one, but definitely up there.
Yeah, as long as, like, the Sensori have existed, this should have existed.
Yeah, I'm like, this is so dumb. You can't tell me that, like, some random time in the 40s or whatever, 50s, they were like, let's just pretend that they don't exist. Like, what? Are you joking? It just, like, they need to stop trying to make it fit real-life events. It's just not gonna work.
Like, yeah, I completely agree. It's, like, they're trying so hard to shoehorn it into reality that it's just kind of falling flat.
Yeah, just let, some things just need to be let, to be unexplained, and just...
Right, exactly.
Sometimes it's like when... you gotta go into the Badlands route. You just throw a bunch of stuff in
don't
there.
Don't sweat anything.
You just throw a bunch of stuff in there, and you just let it be, and you just let people be like, what? This doesn't make any sense. But then they forget about it. No one's going, oh, you know, West Avalon, in reality, is in New Jersey, and blah, 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 is somewhere else. We got cut off yet again because, you know, by the power of the internet, we are gonna get cut off. Let's see, I think we were talking about the old man of High. We're talking about human connectedness and how thematically there seems to be this kind of weird duality thing with, like, oh, are we, like, humans hate each other or whatever, or are willing to divide each other, but, you know, the Sensori have always existed, and that doesn't really make sense, because, like, wouldn't people know about them by now?
Right, and if... from what they're saying, there's about a bajillion of them.
Not a bajillion. Okay. A lot.
Well, bajillion isn't a number.
Thanks, Melissa. Thanks for that fun fact.
I majored in mathematics. Thank you. but there seems to be a lot of them. And
right. Enough that there's, like, you know, they seem to be able to find one at a random concert. Or, like, sorry, two at a random concert. So.
Right. They exist in the archipelago.
I cannot with these stupid stop trying to make archipelago happen.
It's not gonna happen.
They literally just mentioned it once and I'm already over it. I'm already over it. The archipelago. So you're telling me that there's now maybe some kind of weird archipelago hidden away of, like, sensates or something? I mean, that sounds kind of cool, but also sounds really stupid, so...
It sounds kind of cool, but I don't feel like it kind of can fit in the universe that they've already created, because...
Human, like, togetherness. It's a network across the globe. So I don't think it would actually be, a literal, you know, island full of certain people. Like, I think...
Well, no. Yes, I understand that, Maggie. Yeah. It's a metaphor. but... I guess I just mean that, like, the old man didn't trust them because all of the Sensori are, like, with BPO or in the archipelago.
I guess.
And but they've never trusted the wrong person before?
Yeah, it seems flimsy. It doesn't really hold up because it's, like... You're saying that you have infiltrated, you know, BPO, but they've never infiltrated you guys successfully, like, ever?
I guess.
And your only thing about letting people into your archipelago or whatever is, like, they need to be honest and show you where they are location-wise. That's, like, so dumb. I don't know.
I got that as, like, that was what Riley used to make him trust her, but I don't know if that's a... common trope throughout. I don't know, because I guess, like, okay, so if person A is connected to person B, and person B is connected to person C, person A isn't connected to person C, right?
Right.
There's no transitive property. So let's say person A is a spy for BPO.
Right.
So B, they could turn in person B. But person B wouldn't lead them to person C?
Yeah, that's why I'm just like, this whole thing is just so flimsy. And You should just play by the Into the Badlands rules. Like, just don't question it. It's sci-fi. It's just sci-fi. It's soft sci-fi. You gotta let it go.
I mean, I would let it go, except Sensei is refusing to let me, so...
That's what I mean. Like, they need to take they need to take a page out of the Badlands playbook and just learn to let it go.
Well, let's just say, for argument's sake, that, okay, in this scenario, person B can't sell out person C. Or, as long as they're unwilling to, they won't. Which would mean that each archipelago thing would be fine. You'd only be in danger by the people directly surrounding you. But the problem that I'm coming up with is, let's just say, now let's change the scenario. Let's say person L is the spy. So person L can sell out person K and person M.
Sure.
So let's say they do that. Person K and M are good sensori and they don't sell out anyone else. Okay?
You broke the chain.
Right, exactly. How are you going to connect the other letters? Because
I think the way I see it is, like, the network is so big that that's why the chain is not a straight line.
Right, it's not linear, but the more it's interconnected, the more at risk they are.
Sure. Listen, man, I don't make the rules. I think they just did it because they wanted it to look cool, honestly. I think that was a driving factor behind, let's do this montage of people whispering into each other's ears all over the globe. Like, I'm pretty sure it was just for the it'll look cool factor.
Do it for the aesthetic.
Do it for the aesthetic.
But it's a fundamental part of world building.
Yeah.
In this case, and if it's not as linear, if it is extremely interconnected, which I could definitely see that, if there was a spy, and with that many people, I would think there was bound to be one.
Right? Like, there's no Layla in this group at all, right? Like, come on.
I guess you could argue maybe that if you are connected with someone... Wait, that's not... Never mind. I changed my mind.
Because I was going to say... I thought, but I don't know if it makes sense. Maybe it's kind of like, even if it was... Even that person was a spy. Like... Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. There's no vetting process to be part of the archipelago, it seems. Or maybe there is. Maybe there is a vetting
process. Maybe there's a long interview segment.
Oh, my God. Do you remember, like, way flashback over to season one when they had the episode where Will and Sun are looking through files and it's just them looking through files?
Yes.
But then there's a chicken involved?
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I went way back. I went way back.
Oh, yeah, that was a nice callback, though. I appreciate it.
No, but yeah, like, that was, like, the file episode, right? Like,
yeah.
We don't need an interview episode. anyway. I feel like we should just move on to this topic, because I think we're just gonna spin in circles if we keep thinking about it. Like, there's no logical conclusion or way for that to work, for the archipelago network to work.
I would guess that there is a logical way of maneuvering your thoughts to get it to work, but I don't think they've been explicit enough to get me to do it.
Yeah.
I bet if I read some, like, fan theories, like, it would be an elaborate explanation of how this totally 100% makes sense.
That's what I mean. Sometimes you ask me to go for the simple stuff, because in real life, who actually goes for the complicated, crazy scheme? No, you're not gonna do that. It's like... No, it just no. I can't remember what I read in the past or watched or whatever, but it was something, someone saying something like that, like, no one actually does, like, a locked room mystery. That's not, like, a thing. That's, like, a thing for fiction, right? Because, like, in reality, if you're going to kill someone, you're just going to do it in a way that is easiest and is going to hide what you're doing and be as efficient as possible. You're not going to have a locked room mystery where, oh, we got to figure out how the dead person hung, like, you know, was shot, you know, completely locked. Like, people don't, like, that's not, sometimes, if you want to be realistic, you got to go for the most simple explanation. However, this is Sensei, and this is the Wachowskis. They're not going to go for simple.
I don't think they understand the word simple. It is not in their vocabulary.
Yeah, it's called learning how to edit yourself, and I don't think that's a thing that they do.
So. Well, this episode was, what, an hour and 7 minutes?
That's what, I was so surprised, because I usually try to watch it right before we pod, but I was like, oh shoot, it's more than an hour. Oh no. So that's why I needed more time to watch it. And I was like, this could have been split into two episodes.
Or there's a whole bunch of it that could have just been cut. Yeah, let's be sure. Real here.
And they're very indulgent with the sex scenes. Like, they usually are, but, like, it was pretty long this time.
Yeah, it was like, pretty long, and there were multiple ones, and we really didn't need that much of Kala looking at Wolfgang playing football, a.k.a. soccer.
Oh, yeah, the whole football thing. Yeah, that was so extra.
That was so unnecessary, watching his moves jiggle, like...
You're not wrong. I mean, I also kind of feel like it's slightly refreshing when the show does nudity outside of the context of sexuality. Although, I guess this was kind of more of a blurred line situation, but, like...
Yeah.
You're not wrong. The whole soccer thing could have been cut way short. I can't believe you call it football. You're a traitor to America.
I'm a traitor to America.
That's going to be our episode title. Anyway.
I am watching the Great British Bake Off, so.
You really are a traitor. Anyway, I don't know. You're right. You know, we talked about this show. Like season one, Wolfgang, did he really need to be cracking that safe for a good 30 minutes? No, he didn't. But they had him do it anyway. Like,
the show's indulgent, and it does it for the capitalist art.
Did you say capitalist art or arc?
Well, I meant to say capital A arc, but the words kind of slurred together.
Yeah,
but,
I was like, it's not capitalist, and I don't think it's an arc. I was like so confused. Okay,
well,
yeah.
I did say art. At least that word.
Capital
I got right.
Art. Yeah, so they wanted to make it the most artsy they could. I don't know. There's a way to be artsy and be quick, aka the montage scene. It could have been, even the montage scene could have been shorter, but it was fairly short.
Yeah, it's the show. Is what it is, and what it is extremely indulgent.
Yeah, that's 110% right. Yeah,
this show could not exist on network television.
Oh, absolutely not.
For many reasons, so but funny. It is just like the extraneous scenes are just ridiculous.
It's so extra, but I love it.
I like it. It adds character to it.
Yeah, yeah. There's no other show like it, or quite like it, because it's so, it's not that weird, but, like, it kind of is, you know?
Yeah, well, it's, like...
It's not weird enough to be, like, experimental. But
right, exactly.
It's pretty out there sometimes.
You know what it kind of reminds me of? I can't think of a specific example, but... When, like, a director has, like, a really big hit, and their next film...
Oh, it's like a director's cut.
Oh, yeah, that too. But that's not what I was going for. Like, okay. If a director has a really big hit, and, like, their next project, they can basically do whatever they want.
That's literally how Hollywood works, though. People literally do big budget, you know, just flash in the pan, common denominator, you know, franchise stuff to get, like, you know... Basically funding for their actual passion project.
Right.
That's, like, literally how it works.
But, like, imagine that, but without an editor.
Yeah.
That's Sense8.
Yeah. I can kind of see why they got canceled, because I can't even imagine the budget that went into even just this one episode, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Their budget must have been absurd.
Yeah. To be fair,
it's so unnecessary, too.
Oh, yeah, dude. And I wanna see what their, like, what the Wachowskis, like, little cast writers were. If it was, like, you know, so-and-so only eats, like, pickles every Tuesday or something crazy like that. You know what I mean? Like, anyway. I don't know.
Pickles.
This show, the whole show is extra, but it's entertaining enough.
It is. I do like the show. I am disappointed that it was canceled.
It's interesting, because I know some people, I feel like people are pretty... divided on the show. People don't seem to be, like, neutral. Either people like it quite a bit, or, like, they really hate it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, I like it quite a bit. It's just, it also has flaws.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, so, one moment that I really enjoyed in this episode was when Cassius is driving the Matatu and he sees, I can never remember her name, the reporter woman.
Oh, God.
I don't remember people's names. But yeah, he sees her and picks her up. And they're, well, no, this isn't pick her up. He's talking to her. And it's like, first of all, you see the old woman lean out, right?
Yeah.
And then you see the friend slide up to the chair. And then it cuts back, and you see everyone on the bus's heads have leaned out. Because yes. I don't think this is the background. First, it was just the one woman. Then it was a friend. Then everyone was just, like, watching this whole thing go down. And I was like, oh my god, this is so much. But it was funny, and it was kind of, like, this show would, this would never happen in, like, real life. Or if it did, I think I would be kind of mortified if I were in their shoes. But, like, it was still a great moment.
Oh, I mean, if I was on that bus, I'd be like, come on, I'm going to be late.
Right? Like, no.
Get back on the bus and take me where I need to go.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one. It was a lot, but...
But it was a really cute moment.
It was so cute. I mean, I don't know if they're so... I don't know how Kenyan society is with people being, like, outside... Like, I guess queer or whatever. I don't know if the reporter would self-identify as queer, but, you know, definitely not, like, straight-up heterosexual straight person, right? But, like, I don't know. She seemed pretty comfortable saying that in front of, like, a whole bus full of people. I was like, this doesn't seem to be based in reality, but I'll let it slide for the shipping points.
I didn't know whether, like, they could actually hear what was going on.
Oh, okay. I mean, they seem pretty close to the bus, but...
I mean, they did, yeah.
Also, those people seem to be listening in very intently, too. I mean...
That is true.
Anyway, I don't know. I thought that was a little bit strange. Especially given that, you know, the people at the office were so, like, mean about it. And they were higher class, so I don't know. I don't know. But, anyway, in any case... I still, there's a lot of shipping going on in this episode, so, like, it was cute that, you know, finally Cassius, I guess, because we've never seen Cassius, like, except for, like, those, like, weird group orgy scene, we've never seen Cassius, like, have a significant other or have sex with anyone, so, like, I don't know, go on Cassius, I guess. I also realized that his actor's ears are really small, like, they're really small.
Oh my god.
Like, they're really small. Such a random detail, but his ears are really small.
Anyway. Oh, no. Is this the only thing I'm going to be able to notice next time?
His ears are so small. Okay. They're, like, abnormally small.
Okay.
I mean, the actor's great. Don't get me wrong. I don't know why. Because, especially since his head is shaved, like, I focused in on that, like, one detail. You know, also the fact that the Wachowskis really like shooting people's butts continues to be a constant theme throughout the show.
They're butt people.
They are butt people. or should I say Wachowski? Because I don't think... Isn't it, like, only one of them was working on season two? I think only Lana was working on season two, right?
I don't remember.
Because, no, yeah, so sorry, I keep saying the Wachowskis, but I think only one of them was working on this project, because the other one took time off or something. So my B, that's my fault. But anyway, I kind of like that the reporter is encouraging Cassius to, like, at least discuss stuff with, I guess, the local politicians. It's more interesting than him being like, oh, I'm a Matatu driver, I can't do anything, I'm just gonna, like, go around and do kung fu whenever I want. Like, I don't know. This is
kung fu whenever I want.
I don't know what's going on with Mr. Kabaka and his mom, though. That is so, like, out of left field, yo.
That
I did not see that coming. I don't know where that I don't know where that came from. We had no foreshadowing.
That was weird, and I don't like really this. Like it.
I mean, like, his mom's adorable, but, like, this makes no sense to me. We just went from the guy who just casually is, like, taking a machete to people's hands to, like, oh, yeah, like, he's totally courting my mom now. Like, this is weird.
I mean, we've always experienced his duality as well because, like...
Kabaka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, the way he treats his daughter.
Cassius literally saw him.
Oh yeah, no.
Hand off.
It's extremely weird for Cassius, and if
why
I
is Cassius okay with this? I would not be okay with my mom dating someone who just chops people's hands off.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I don't know why they're introducing this subplot. It's so bizarre.
I mean, I'm guessing there's a reason, but also there might not be.
You know what I think it is? Because once, this was before I saw his mom step out of Kabaka's car. What I thought was, oh snap, he's going to try to, like, run for election or whatever, but this, like, dirty past with, like, the, you mm-hmm. know, with Kabaka is going to screw up his campaign somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why they feel like they have to raise the stakes by including his mom in this, too. Like, that's so dumb. Does that make sense?
I mean, I do like that his mom is becoming, like, more a than person. Just a plot device.
Right. But I think yeah. that's not the way to go.
Yeah, I don't know if this is quite the direction I wanted to see her in. It's her just go so in, strange. But I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens.
Mm, yeah. Anyway, that's odd. And then that scene was interspersed with the scenes with Wolfgang and Kala. I guess consummating not really their relationship. It was odd.
Yeah, and they even talk about that later in the episode. It's like, did it happen? Did it not happen?
I mean, it happened, but only in their heads, which is like a very flimsy excuse. So for me, I mean, admittedly, that was very much for the art as well. Like, she's in the water, mm-hmm. there's sunlight stuff, there's like the way it's lit through the blinds in Wolfgang's place. Like, it was very artsy, it was very pretty.
Oh yeah, it was so artsy.
Like, mad props, because I don't really know how they did that underwater kissing scene. That must have been, like, really, really difficult to film. So good on them for making that work, because, like, yo, that's some crazy ish right there.
But can we just comment for 1 second?
Yeah.
On Kala's makeup, which is fine after being in the water. Thank you.
It's waterproof.
Waterproof makeup is not that waterproof.
Anyway, I don't know. I mean, they definitely went out of their way this episode to make us feel kind of bad for Rajan. Like,
yeah.
Also, I don't know how I feel about Wolfgang's reaction to Rajan, because that was kind of interesting. Like, he's like giggling and smiling. I'm like, what is happening here?
I assumed that was just still like to Kala, but yeah.
But transferred over to him. Like, she did some weird thing where she was, like, feeling all the negative emotion in her actual body, but when she was over in... I don't know, that's weird. If that's what you're trying to say.
Yeah. I mean, no, because it's like, he's still giddy that what happened with Kala happened with Kala.
Right, right.
And it's residual giddiness, not because he got some from Rajan.
Not because he got some from Rajan. Yeah, I don't know. That was just an odd moment. So, I kind of have to side with Wolfgang on this one, because he literally was like, are you sure this is okay? Because, you know, she kept, like, coming after him like a chicken or something, and she kept, like, pushing towards him, and he's, like, kind of pushing her back a little bit, and he's like, are you sure this is a good idea? Like, are you gonna commit to this? And she, like, nods, so he's like, alright, cool, I'm gonna go for it. And then he goes for it, and then, like, the next day, of course, Kala, being Kala, is like, actually, like, I don't know about what happened last night, and Wolfgang's like, it's all in our heads. I mean, if that was me, I'd be like, listen, girl, like, we had a whole consent talk. You said yes. Like, I don't really know what to tell you that you're regretting it now. Like, anyway. Well, I don't... That's my take on it, personally, because I'm just like, Kala, there's no take backsies. Like, it happened. You agreed to this. You knew what you were getting into.
Well, maybe there was a miscommunication with what it meant. Maybe Kala thought maybe it was just going to be a one-night thing.
I highly doubt that, considering, like, literally every episode has been, like, should we or shouldn't we? Should we or shouldn't we? That's true. Like, you cannot pretend that, oh, this was, a one-time mistake. Please. You know what I mean?
No, it's frustrating, because, yeah.
Kala, you gotta commit. Finally. You gotta commit.
She made a decision, and then immediately changed her mind.
But that's very her, too. So I can't even... Oh, it is, yeah. Like, it's totally her. So, it does make sense character-wise. It's just frustrating, because I'm just like, Kala, own up to your actions.
Yeah. I shouldn't be sympathizing with, like, evil Wolfgang right now.
Right, because even Wolfgang kind of knew this was going to go down. Like, he wasn't that surprised, and he wasn't that upset, because he kind of knew this is how she is.
Yeah.
So he's kind of complicit, in a way. Shake my head.
Ugh.
I mean, you know, I still ship them, but I'm just like, listen, man, you can't just, like, be weird about this. So you know she's going to be weird about this with Rajan. You know.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're not even really liking your marriage to this guy because there's some dude with, like, an AK-47 just, like, chilling outside your room. Like, do you really want to be in this marriage? And he's not listening to you when it comes to, like, job stuff when you've worked at the company for, like, ever and you know your ish. So, like, are you actually satisfied in your marriage? I don't think so.
I guess I was surprised that it happened in this episode because I thought we were going to get more of a build-up with, like, the job drama before.
Right. I think it just exacerbated, right? So...
Right, before I pushed Kala over the edge and she was just like, fine, it's time to sleep with Wolfgang.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were getting hints throughout all of the season that she was, like, really doubting her choices or whatever, so...
Well, yeah, no, it's been a consistent thing, but nothing was... You know, she's never been pushed over the edge, and she basically got pushed over the edge because she was really wanting it.
She was like, it's late. I don't really want Rajan. I guess Wolfgang's awake. Let's go visit him in my mind palace or whatever.
You up?
W-Y-D? Question mark? Yeah. Oh my gosh. Anyway. Oh, no sense-ate. No sense-ate. Okay, hold on. Time to go back to my notes because I'm getting off track.
We've really just gone all over the place.
No, it's fine. Let's see. Oh. I have a stupid note about Cassius. So, you know when he's, like, fiddling around with that, like, espresso machine and he's trying to figure out how to get, like, the milk steamer to work? Like, I have totally been that guy.
Oh.
I have totally been that guy. I was like, Cassius, I feel you. Because I do not know how to use those, like, machine milk steamers either. He actually got it to work, though, so props to him because I could not figure it out.
I also couldn't figure it out, but I don't drink coffee, so I've never tried.
I like that. I especially like Cassius's line about there's nothing as expensive as being poor, because that is literally so true. Also, I wrote the note about his ears. So dumb. So stupid.
Nice.
I'm trying to see if I have any more notes about Cassius, because I think we kind of just, like, we don't really go back to him after What?
I have mixed feelings about Cassius. I just didn't think that their relationship was going to progress this quickly.
You sound like my mom. We watched a film recently where this guy hooks up with a girl pretty quickly at the beginning of the movie, and my mom just looked at me and was like, that quickly?
Oh my, like, god, oh, I've mom, turned into, like,
sweet,
that person.
Summer child, you don't know what hookup culture is. And I was like, oh, mom.
But I guess I never had really seen, like, Cassius engaging in hookup culture.
Well, it's not, I wouldn't even call it a hookup because, like, he knows this woman. They've been on a date. They have emotional connection. They really like each other. So I wouldn't really call it a hookup. I definitely was kind of, like, side-eye when they were, like, immediately at her house right after the Matatu scene. Because I was like, this seems kind of fast. But, yeah. Like, I wouldn't really call this a hookup. I only brought the hookup thing because, like, my mom also said I was in a comment about a actual hookup scene in a film. But... Anyway, I guess it's kind of off-putting, right? Because at least in season one, especially when there's a different actor with, like, a different face and a different kind of vibe about him, Cassius gave off more of, like, a childish or childlike wonder or just, I don't know, more innocent type of vibe. This actor just brings a different kind of feeling to Cassius, so it's a little bit strange, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
If that makes sense. He just, like, physically is more, I guess... He doesn't look and doesn't, like, I guess, feel the same as the old Cassius.
Yeah.
So it's weird because, like, as a character, it seems like, well, I don't know if it's, like, out of character, but, like, it just seems different.
It does,
because I can't really imagine season one Cassius like, in this situation. It doesn't really work for me. I mean, it could, but then I think it would play a little bit more sweet than, like,
yeah,
whatever just happened this episode, you know?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I'm not trying to shade any of the actors. It's just,
it's just different.
That's why typecasting is a thing, because people come across a certain way when they're acting, when they're on screen. Not that I want to promote typecasting, but, like...
Oh, yeah, I love that typecasting life.
But you know what I mean? Like, there's a reason why people are typecast, because some people are better at acting a specific way.
Right.
You know. Anyway, that's just my take on why I thought it was a little bit odd, but not super strange. Mm-hmm. Because it makes sense for season 2 Caffeus. I don't know if it makes sense for season 1 Caffeus to be like this.
Mm-hmm. I do like, though, that the idea of class was brought up, and it was kind of a running theme throughout their relationship.
I do, yeah. I like that they're not trying to just, like, brush it under the rug or anything.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. It's an interesting discussion, and it does feel like they come from two different worlds.
Yeah, they really are from different class. I mean, she went to college. I'm assuming Caffeus did not.
Right.
Obviously, the socioeconomic levels are way different. But she also talks about, you know, how she doesn't have to, like, pay a ridiculous amount for, like, basic necessities like water.
Right.
Even though she's technically richer, right?
Right.
It's a fundamental truth what they were talking about, like, governments want the rich to stay rich and the poor to stay poor.
I mean, yeah, that is certainly really true.
They're kind of correct.
But it just... I mean, I like that they've brought up class, and I think it's going to bring up a lot of conflicts in the future with them.
I like the way this is going, because I didn't... You know, season 1 Caffeus, I didn't... I mean, the story was kind of compelling, but, like, I feel like it's been done to the death and told before. Like, oh, you know, poor boy needs to get drugs for his ailing mother and does dangerous stuff. Like, okay, cool, whatever. But I find more subtle and nuanced stuff, like class or issues or differences, more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think for the sheer fact that it's not brought up as much in, at least the media that I consume.
Right.
So I find that really interesting.
It is, and I like the way that they've been doing it so far, and they haven't been too heavy-handed with it, right. But you never know how it's going to continue.
Right. And then, to be fair, class is not a completely new theme in Caffeus' storyline. I mean, Kabaka makes a lot of money, and we kind of saw how that benefited him and his child, right, in season 1?
Mm-hmm.
And I like
that it's
becoming more integrated in the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's nice. I'm trying to see what other notes I have for Caffeus. I don't think I have too many more.
I really liked the scene when Caffeus goes into her apartment, and he's just, like, looking around all, like, the art and all the books, and I really just liked that moment.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, we kind of got back to that whole... I hesitate to use the word childlike, but I don't know... There's gotta be a better word, but, like... Maybe curious, kind of innocent. I don't know. I don't want to, like, infantilize his character or anything.
Right.
But, like, you know, just kind of, like, his curiosity, I think, brings, like, a lightness to his character. And we kind of got that once he leaves the bedroom and kind of goes out to the kitchen and just messing around with the espresso machine. Like,
yeah.
I kind of like that because it reminded me of old Caffeus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Again, I don't want to, like, sound like I'm infantilizing him or anything, but... There's just something more, I guess, like, I don't know, pure about season 1 Caffeus. Like, I don't know how to express it. Does that make sense?
It's a different vibe, I think.
Yeah.
I don't... Yeah, it's hard to kind of put your finger on it.
Yeah. I guess I would say, like, season 2 Caffeus is kind of, like, the way he looks and the actor. It just is more, I guess, like, traditionally masculine.
Yeah.
But, like, that's... I don't want to be, like, shading either of the actors, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, it's always interesting when you change a character and, like, how much of an impact it can have. Because I feel like there's some shows where you switch out a character and it's not too much of a difference. But I feel like it's affected Sense8 season 2 quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely like feel the effects. Like, I know people in my life who watch soap operas, and they often do this. They'll, just substitute an actor just to play the same character, like, all the time. There'll be like four different versions of someone,
Oh
and
dear.
it's a very interesting thing. And even if, like, the writers are consistent and everything else is consistent, you still get a very different vibe when you have a different actor playing a part.
Yeah, unless they have it completely down and can completely copy what the last person did,
But
it's
you also don't
unlikely.
want them to. You don't want them just to be a strict copy.
Right. Yeah, they gotta bring their own flavor. It's like,
Right.
you know, it's like, sorry, you know I gotta bring it up. It's like the Star Trek reboot. Sorry, obligatory Star Trek reference.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, I'm done here. I'm done here. You get my point.
Yeah,
But yeah, they had to be the same but not be the same,
which is a very
essentially.
difficult position.
Right. It's worse than being something completely different, something completely new, or like you gotta pay homage, homage, homage. You gotta pay homage, but also not be a complete copycat. Anyway, back to Sensei. Let's not talk about Star Trek anymore. I think that's pretty much it for Cepheus. I don't know if I have any more thoughts on him. I mean, we got the usual Sensate style wide shot of him just being like, yay! What, like, outside of like a little porch on an apartment building. I feel like Sensate does that a lot. It kind of reminded me of, I think there's been a similar shot with Leto, where he's just like on a balcony or whatever. But, that's Sensate for you.
Yeah, that's Sensate for you. Yeah, I think that's all I have for Cepheus, really.
Shall we talk about Sun?
Yeah, there isn't
You
really
know
much
what's
going
behind it?
on.
Real quick note. It's been a while since we had any like one-on-one Sun and Cepheus interaction.
True.
There was so much of that in the first season. I guess like this version of Cepheus doesn't really need someone to kick anyone's butts or anything, but like still, I
Yeah,
miss
there
that
was.
interaction.
Yeah, it was a lot, and we got the, like, there was a really important conversation that they both had when they were both kind of at a turning point in their lives. And I thought that was really important for both of their characters. So, yeah, I'd like to see that again.
With Cepheus. Yeah, and then like the whole connection about their mothers and stuff. Anyway, I miss the whole Sun Cepheus connection.
I did like seeing the Sun Riley connection, though.
Yeah, that was nice. And like I immediately knew that they were back at the same spot
Right.
based on how they filmed it. So without even having to see like the inscription on the floor, so that was really nice. And yeah, I would say they were both in better places.
Yeah.
So it was good to see them back again. But yeah, Sun, she didn't have too much in this episode, but I liked what little we did see of her. Of course, my eye went directly to the dog,
Oh,
because of
yeah.
course it did. That dog is adorable.
You know, Sun might be a good person, but she is not a good dog owner. Don't leave your pupper.
You left your pupper to go to college.
But I came back.
She came back and she's gonna come back later.
Maybe, but there's no guarantee. Like, it's not likely that I'm going to die at college.
True. We led very tame college lives.
True. But also,
Well, relatively tame.
like that dog has no one but Sun.
I
Well,
mean,
now.
he's been living with her trainer coach guy, so.
Right, so now the dog has that. But, Sun was the dog's whole world. I'm
You
just
don't know that.
saying.
You don't know the dog's life.
I'm just saying, dogs are important.
No, yeah. I mean, that dog, so cute. And I do like that he's like, she would always look at the gate and wait for you to come back, and I was like,
I
no, because
know.
nothing is more pure than the love of like a pet or an animal. Like,
Yeah.
they really. Ugh. Anyway. So that was a cute moment.
Yeah, but Sun's.
I always love any kind of emotional connection Sun has with people because it just feels like. Remember, she felt so isolated in season one, so it's just
Yeah.
so nice to see her. Like, she had that time where she was connecting with her old prison buddy, as they called her,
Yeah.
and she's connecting with a coach, and they're hugging it out, and it's just all it's like all sweet and sad, and Oh, just so good. And then, you know, I feel like we're getting, like, a bit of the old Sun back, but with, like, with some, like, spice. Because, like, she's, like, kind of dressed kind of formally or, like, yeah. businessy again. But, like, not as, like, structured or strict. Like, it's not really a business outfit, but it is a little bit more professional.
Right.
And I was like, yes, Sun is back, baby. She's gonna come and she's gonna, like, she's, I don't know what she's gonna do with the brother, but, like, it gonna be good.
It is.
The popcorn is out. It's ready. Like,
yeah.
I will relish the moment she meets her brother again. It's gonna be great.
It's gonna be pretty good.
They're setting it up to be so epic.
I mean, I just don't know whether, I mean, I don't know whether we'll see it in this season.
Oh, maybe the finale movie thing?
Maybe.
I think we're gonna see it this season. We're gonna at least get some kind of finale smash cut where, like, it's like, Son? And it's like,
oh my god,
I'm
yeah.
back, brother! Or some stupid-ish like that. Like,
yeah.
They have to. You know, that's the only ship that didn't get any play this episode was the Sun and Moon ship.
Uh-huh.
Or should I say the solar ship?
The solar ship.
The solar system ship. I'm done.
Oh my god.
Anyway, that's the only ship we didn't really get any play of. I think we got Riley and Will. We got Angelica and, what's his face?
Yeah.
Jonas. We got whispers at his wife for crying out loud. We got Kala and Wolfgang, Caffius, Leto and Hernando. Yeah, we got, like, every ship except for
Nomi
Sun.
And Amanita.
Nomi and Amanita. Like, yeah. The whole gang is just, they all have that special someone, except for Sun, because she's on a vengeance quest.
She has no time for your petty romance.
Anyway.
She's way busier than any of you.
I mean, it's like, yeah, no, that's the only ship that was left out. If only we got, like, it would have been, also, I think it would have been very, it would be too much to just, like, randomly throw Moon in there, because, like,
yeah, they can't interact yet.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's too soon. But it was, no, I like the direction that Sun is going in. I hope she gets to, like, storm into another karaoke hall and just, like, beat everyone up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
like,
that.
Take two.
She's good
at
that.
We've been here before. Deja vu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope she's
Sorry. It's just, like, the artsy film major in me was like, how great would it be if some kind of stupid, ironic song was playing in the background while she beat the crap out of her brother? Oh, it would just make the artist in me feel some kind of way. Anyway, sorry. You were saying.
I just hope that she's really going to think about her revenge plot and she isn't just going to go and punch her brother. Like, I feel like she's thinking about it, but I want an elaborate scheme which will bring everything her brother loves down.
Please. We already know with the Wachowskis, everything is an elaborate scheme. Everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sun is great. Let's see. Maybe we should talk about Nomi?
Yeah.
So, Nomi is... She gets... I don't know how the EDF thing works. That doesn't really make sense to me, but whatever. Whatever.
Let's just go with it.
Let's go with it, because it's not worth examining any further. So, she gets her old house back somehow.
Which luckily hasn't been, like, sold or rented out to anyone.
Completely trashed and sold, right? So their stuff is... Most of their stuff is in there. And her sister is... really wants her to go to her wedding. She calls her by her actual preferred pronouns. It's all great, except she has to run out and do this thing to figure out BPO. So maybe that's going to lead to some friction in their relationship that just kind of got back on its feet. Whatever.
I mean, it felt like a really bad move for Nomi.
Right.
Like, was it that
course,
important that you go
house?
At that moment?
Yeah. But I think that's kind of what they were getting at, like, in the forest and even a little bit before,
yeah.
Like, her being a narcissist, which is, to be fair, extremely extreme of her father to say, but, you know, she gets wrapped up in her own problems, so she's gonna run after it, chase it, and, you know, Neat has been very helpful and, like, you know, to, like, a saint-like level, right?
Yeah.
But again, it's been at the expense of, like, she's kind of dropping everything, almost everything, to help Nomi out with all this other stuff, right? So,
yeah.
I don't think her father is completely 110% wrong here. There's some bit of, like, when she has her issues, she gets wrapped up in them, for sure.
Yeah. But it's difficult to fault her, though, because her issues are insane.
Right, right.
Like, but yeah, I do, I see it.
People issues. But, you know, you can see how this might lead to some friction with her sister, because her sister's like, hey, I want to ask you a favor. Actually, bye, I gotta dash, like, right now. And so we don't know what the favor is, and we don't know what's going on, right? So
right. I don't know how much I care.
Right, I don't care enough about the sister to make this, like, a big deal, but, like, I care for Nomi and her relationship with her sister a bit.
Yeah, so. I do, too, and I just think that... But I don't really have sympathy if she's, like, the one who's running out. And if she... It's not like she was being chased by, like, police or something. Like, she could have given it another, like, 10 minutes.
Right, she's already e-dead or whatever. Like, she didn't run from anyone. So, she's fine. Like, she didn't... She could have literally just stayed, listened to her sister for, like, 5 minutes. But Nomi's gonna do what she's gonna do, I guess. So they run off to the cabin in the woods. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Obligatory reference. I think they went to Muir Woods. It looked a lot like Muir Woods. Anyway, they run off to the woods to go find this cabin. And, you know, she gets a good old exposition, you know, I guess, bunch of flashbacks. Because she's in the same place as Angelica or whatever.
Work, work.
Work. And... I love how there's just, like, a scene, it was, like, the most couple-y thing I've ever seen, where Jonas is playing a guitar,
yeah,
and Angelica is playing a ukulele.
Of course he's playing a ukulele.
Jonas's neck, like, that's, like, completely casual, and I'm like, this is kind of cute, and also, like, the most couple-iest, like, saccharine thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, basically.
But it kind of works, so, like, it's okay.
It was a little much for me, but, you know, it mostly worked.
Yeah, you know how I get with, like, modeling cheesy things. I usually just roll my eyes, like, so hard you can hear it, and then, like, I don't know. But it kind of worked just because I feel like Jonas has been such a little angst ball, and so has Angelica, so it kind of balanced it out a bit, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we learned a little bit more about Angelica and BPO, and it appears that Angelica set that guy on fire, so...
That's new.
That's fun to learn about.
I don't know. Like, obviously, we don't know the whole story.
Right.
So, I'm gonna reserve judgment, but it didn't look very promising.
Yeah, and then, like, Whispers is just, like, watching the cabin burn down. It's like, okay. So, we find out the big reveal, I guess, or the big plot is, like, it all went to hell once Angelica went to Chicago. And guess who's going to Chicago?
Yep.
Riley's going to Chicago. This is where it gets a little bit scary, because, I mean, even the way they lit her up at the
end
of the episode, like, they lit her up so she looked kind of like Angelica did in episode one, where Angelica has this bright hair, and she's all lit up, and Riley's doing the same thing. She's a little bit farther away from the Sensates, and it's like, we get the symbolism, guys. We get it. She's supposed to be Angelica. We understand. I mean, and I guess that makes thematic sense, too, because Riley was a big focus of episode one as well. Mm-hmm. So, it all ties in. And obviously none of us want to see Riley, like, shoot herself in the face. Like, that's, and especially with her, like, depression stuff earlier on. Like, nah, dude, she just got better. Like, or was getting to a better place. Like, So that's why I think it also makes sense why they chose her, too, you know?
Yeah. I don't know how they're going to play it, and that makes me kind of excited.
I like the fact also that Will, the closest one to her, Will, is from Chicago. So hopefully that helps them out. But we'll see what happens. I do want to get to Will and Riley, but does it make sense to talk about them or Leto, or who should we talk about next? Will? Riley?
Yeah, let's just go with Will.
Let's go Will and Riley. So, we talked about how they were on the train. They run into that guy, Mr. Hoy or whatever, or High, or I don't know how he was pronounced. pronouncing his name. And, you know, she learns more about, I guess, this weird network of Sensori and this archipelago thing. It's very odd. It is nice that they're meeting more sensates, I guess. That makes it a little bit more interesting to me.
Yeah, I like that they're getting more connected with, like, their outside world. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's handled in a way that's kind of self-important.
The whole Sensori thing?
Yeah. And yeah, also, I mean, it, similarly, I think we've discussed this on the podcast before, but, like, this weird thing about how there's human connectedness, but Sensori are different than the Homo sapiens, so those are two different things, but everyone is connected, and...
It's so dumb.
And, like...
You can't just be like, oh, everyone's connected, but... Lol, we have two different species who can never be connected. Like, what are you talking about? What? Ugh. Internal logic, guys.
Right. It's just like, if you're going to pass judgment on humankind, mm-hmm. you can't not be a part of humankind, because...
And they literally look like humans. They are basically human, except for this one small, tiny fact that they can do this one thing. Like... Also, it's been a while since we saw skill sharing, so I want to see more skill sharing, but that's just not the point. Sorry, you were saying.
No, it's just, it comes off as kind of patronizing, because it's all these, like, quote-unquote non-humans talking about how bad humans are.
That's what I mean. It's like, guys, the people writing the show are literally humans. You can't just be like, oh, we're like super special artists, and we're queer, and that makes us better than other people. Like, I get that. I kind of see the whole difference thing being, like, a metaphor for being different, like, being queer, or being, like, a person of color. I can see that as, like, they're trying to use the sensates as a metaphor, kind of in that way, like, being a woman can be kind of, you know, put you at a disadvantage in this world, right? I get that. But, like, being different doesn't make you special. I'm sorry. Like, I know, literally in the show, that's what it means, but... In real life, like, it's not how it works.
You know what it kind of makes me think of?
Or, like, you know, or we're artists, so that makes us special. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, it's so extra.
It's like, I don't know, a 14-year-old girl who is writing, like, quirky Mary Sue fan fiction. And... I'm not judging, because everyone deserves to write crappy fan fiction in their life if they want to.
We've all done it.
We've all done it. I have done it. And Maggie has done it.
We've all done it.
But, like, as a writer, you generally grow from that point. That isn't, like, the peak of your literary career.
Yeah.
And so, that's what it kind of feels like to me.
It's like, you did The Matrix in the 90s. Surely you have grown since then. I think they have. I'm not going to try to pretend that I know the intricacies of becoming a, you know, filmmaker and dealing with all this personal stuff. But, you know, like, you're saying, there's a time and place for that fanfictionness. This is not the time and the place.
Yeah.
However much I enjoy the show, like, sometimes you just kind of...
It just takes itself so seriously.
We even talked about this a little bit, very little bit. I'm going to plug one of our old episodes, in our White Flight episode. So White Flight was a limited web series thing that Comedy Central did, about, you know, oh, like, they transported all the POC in America to, like, oh no, they transported all the white people in America to, like, Canada, right?
Yeah.
You remember this show?
Mm-hmm.
And I went on a little rant about how, like, you know, in terms of, like, I guess, SJWs and all this other stuff, and people being, like, hardcore liberals or whatever, like, there seems to be a thing where it's either, like, oh, we're special, or this thing where it's, like, or we can recognize that everyone is different, everyone is special, therefore, like, it's fine, and not to pretend that people aren't different, but also just be, like, we're all people, it's all cool, it's all chill.
But if everyone is special, no one is.
Right. Exactly. Which is both heartening and very disheartening at the same time. But, you know, like, I don't know. This show is very much, like, the look how different and special we are. And, like, I don't know. But also, we're all connected, even though we're more special than you. And I'm just like, I don't know how I feel about that message.
Yeah, it does kind of have mixed messages, and it doesn't entirely work for me. It doesn't entirely not work, either.
Right, no, I get what they're trying to do. I like certain aspects of it. It's just not... And nothing is perfect, but, like, I don't know. Some of the imperfections are kind of big.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, I think we were talking about Will and Riley, and they've decided, like, screw it, we're just gonna, you know, use the blockers for as long as we can. Or at least Will is gonna use the blockers to you know, keep whispers off there.
Okay, wait.
As long as possible. Yeah, what's up?
Question.
Uh-huh.
So, Will is using the blockers.
Yeah.
But that doesn't block out his own... Okay, wait. Let me rephrase that. So, for some reason, it blocks out Riley, right?
Okay.
Because it blocks out everyone from their understanding. Uh-huh. But he was also, like, partying with Leto, wasn't he? Or was he just not there? And
oh,
I...
maybe he was not on his blockers at that point.
Okay, but I thought he always had to be on them.
Don't try to logic it out, dude.
Okay, just whatever. Let's just move on.
It's gonna hurt your brain. I'm just gonna assume that they were not on blockers at that particular time.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, yeah. So, Will is kind of taking the blockers most of the time, it seems. They have these weird little... Like, because they're so intertwined, I'm going to talk about both of them, but Riley has this weird visit from, like, Puck or whatever, and that's just very disturbing.
That was... I kind of liked it.
It was kind of great, though. He's kind of, like, a nastier version of Bug.
Yeah. Like, it's... how do I put this? Almost any levity in this show is appreciated.
Yeah, yeah. It takes away from the pretentiousness.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, it was kind of, even though it was, like, he was kind of unpleasant, it was kind of good to just, like, not have to think about how crazy all this stuff is when you try to take it seriously. and apparently he's making his own blockers. It looks like that's what the old man is doing, too, with that crazy lab setup he has. It looks like some people, instead of getting blockers from BPO, are just taking the initiative to make their own blockers, which makes more sense. Maybe that will solve the problem of Will running out of blockers since they're with this guy right now. Oh, they're not with him, sorry. They're doing the astral projection thing.
Right.
But they could conceivably get blockers from this dude.
Right, and if Riley knows, let's say, how to make them or how to access them, then... Because, like, you know, there's...
Oh, this is where Kyle comes in. That's where Kyle comes in.
True.
Because she can make them.
Right.
Oh, this could lead to a whole thing with her husband. It's great. I'm loving this already. I don't know if it's gonna happen, but, like...
It could be.
A potential storyline. I'm digging it.
That could be really cool, yeah.
Don't know if that's what happens, but... It's a potential idea. The one thing I like about the show is sometimes, like, I usually don't try to predict what's gonna happen in a show, but when we talk about this show, sometimes I come up with, like, weird scenarios like this where I'm like, oh, that could be really cool. I think it's mainly because they all have different skill sets and it's so intertwined that you can kind of come up with these crazy scenarios that make sense in a way. I don't really do this with any other show. Like, I don't try to predict Badlands because Badlands is its own weird little thing. Like,
I like trying to predict, but not too seriously, I guess. And, oh, you know, Riley could utilize the skill sharing when she does the drugs herself.
Right.
We'll
see. More skill share.
Yeah. Anyway.
Also, Melissa, we gotta wrap this up because I gotta get going soon. But we didn't talk about Leto really much at all.
But I think Leto's the only person we have left.
Right. I think there was a couple side notes about what I wanted to talk about with Kala that I forgot to mention earlier. Like, with Kala, like, You know when she steps out of her bedroom at night and that song starts up? I'm like, what is this song? But one thing I learned about this show is, like, they'll pick very strange songs, but I'll, like, get into it later. So, like, it worked once it transitioned into, like, all the sex scenes or whatever. But I was like, what is this song, man?
It was so extra, but I liked it.
Yeah, it was a lot. Okay, and also the thing with Wolfgang and Kala, like, Kala's like, oh, you need to help me get over you. I'm like, why would she help you get over him? But okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever, Kala, you tried.
Take responsibility for your actions, Kala.
Exactly. Be an adult. Anyway, alright, Lito. Lito, Hernando, and Danny. Danny again going at it with the pictures, taking photos of random guys kissing. Good old Danny.
She's nothing if not predictable. I know I skipped
the completely beginning portion of that, of their cute domesticity thing going on, but, like, I just was like, she's taking pictures of people kissing again. We know where this road leads, Danny. We know where this road leads.
Well, we know what her fatal flaw is.
Taking pictures, apparently. I know I completely skipped the beginning with Lito, but I don't know. They're just being cute and domestic.
Like, yeah, they're just being cute, and I missed it, certainly. Oh, but yeah. It's not really a thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm. With Lito, he's on the... He does decide to do what Hernando suggests and gives a speech. I guess they were doing it for the art, but, you know, when he's on the float and there's a bunch of screens behind Lito just showing a bunch of Litos, I was like, this is definitely some kind of art thing. I guess they're trying to be like, oh, look, there's so many different people and, like... Because, like, we see that huge crowd, right, at the pride parade.
Right, yeah.
And it's just a bunch of different people. And I think that's kind of maybe why they chose to do... instead of just having Lito and, like, a screen, like, one screen behind him, it's a bunch of Litos. Like, I think that's why they chose to do a bunch of Litos, because they're trying to show, like, this is a huge community or whatever. That's my take on it. I was trying to figure out why they did that. Because, later on, at the end of the speech, when he kisses Hernando, it's just one picture of him and Hernando, not, like, a bunch multiplied. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, because, you know, they're unique and cute, and, you know, it's a moment or whatever. So it would be kind of distracting if there was, like, a bunch of Hernandos and Litos on the screen behind them. I think I have some extra notes about Will and Riley that I forgot.
Did you want to mention
something about Lito?
Well, Lito... When they go to the Pride Parade, both Hernando and Danny, like, are visibly prideful.
Oh, no, yeah, I noticed that too, right? He's just wearing the, like, a simple white, like, sweatshirt and, like, gray pants or something.
Yeah, and I thought, like, maybe when he gives his speech from the heart, something's gonna go horribly wrong.
But wasn't he wearing, like, rainbow briefs, though? So I think that makes up for it.
Okay.
Sorry.
I don't remember, but...
Anyway, you were saying.
I kept thinking, like, oh, no, he's going to say something horribly wrong and whatever. Or the other thing I was thinking is that I thought he was going to propose.
I thought of the proposal thing for a quick second because when he got really serious and quiet and started, like, taking Hernando's hand, I was like, is this dude going to propose to him on the float? But, nah. It was still a really touching moment, though.
Yeah. It was really nice, and it was... You know, this is a moment that's been built up to for the entire show. Because, like, really early on in the season, we get Hernando basically, like, talking to Lito about, you know, going to a movie premiere with him. And we did see that, but
we saw how important it was for Hernando to be, like, recognized
right.
as a person and a significant other. So this was just, it felt very, like, this was, like, an achievement almost.
Yeah, it was. It was cathartic and really pleasing, and it made me really happy.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that scene. I can't even imagine how, like, we talk about, like, the cost of the show, like, so many extras, and the flow, and everything. I'm just like, I can't even fathom how much money and time that took, but...
Oh, I thought maybe, like, all the extras were, like, CGI, but I don't know.
Perhaps, I don't know, it almost seems like it would be... easier and cheaper to just have real people.
That's possible.
I don't know. My notes flip around a lot to different people because this is towards the end where we're really bouncing around. But, with Will, when he's doing that thing where he's kind of switching places with Whispers a little bit, I liked how Will's actor was, like, really getting into the face and manner, like, his face and his mannerisms were, like, very whispers, like,
yeah,
it was some good acting, yo.
Did you know?
I knew immediately, like, I was like, when Riley showed up, but then when we get the, right, he's in that nice bed, right, and then Riley shows up in the robe, but then when she turns and walks away, it's clearly someone with dark hair. So I thought maybe it was some kind of weird trap or something, mm-hmm. but no, it was just some weird transference thing. So, but I think even before we saw, like, the children or whatever, I think once I started seeing his, like, facial reactions upon getting up and looking through, like, the safe and, like, just, like, the way the house was, I was like, oh, this is Whispers.
Yeah.
So I like that they gave us, like, a pre-reveal before the actual mirror reveal.
Yeah, I agree. Because, like, I figured it out, like, 20 seconds before the mirror reveal, and I was just like, whoa, that's really cool, and then all of a sudden they reveal it, and I was like,
right,
this was a really good timing.
Yeah, no, I liked it. It was, they gave us enough hints that it wasn't, like, you know, bashing us all in the head with, like, oh, it's Whisper, like, okay, we it, like, slowly built up to it, which was nice.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, again, my notes kind of go all over the place. I don't really think I have any more on Leto, if you want to finish up with Leto.
No, I don't think I have any more on Leto. Oh, wait.
You do?
I do really like the scene where he's coming into the airport, and, like, he has his fans, like, waiting for him.
Mm-hmm.
Where he has his fans waiting for him in the airport.
Yeah.
And it's just really nice and sweet, because it just feels like he's been on the struggle bus for a long time.
For sure. Definitely. I think this is kind of an extension of last episode, right? Where he's kind of realizing that people do love his work and do care about him and his work. Again, my notes kind of skip all over, and I'm trying to speed this up because I gotta get somewhere soon, but when Layla shows up and she, like, does that weird fake out with a gun, and then also when she storms into that building, you know how, like, Wolfgang kind of watched from the sidelines,
yeah,
or whatever? So she's like, she storms into the building and, like, kills all the people with the muffle or silenced gun or whatever. I think even the way it was all set up, like, the way the room was very ornate and gold, it immediately visually brought me back to when Wolfgang stormed his, like, uncle's compound.
I had the same thought.
Yeah. I think that was a very deliberate choice on their part. So I like that kind of weird throwback to, like, Wolfie in season one, you know?
Yeah. I think it's, in one way, it's, like, showing how the two of them are kind of compatible.
Right. Because, like, they're kind of the same world, they're kind of the same people.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think he, you know, the shipper in me is, like, he's ultimately going to choose Kala. Duh.
Right.
But, yeah, like, they are basically the same people. And he even gives her pointers so she doesn't die. So, like, you know, there's also that. I'm trying to see what else did I write down that would merit talking about in this episode. Again, props to the location scout, because all the locations are amazing. Especially, I think I was most impressed by that, the house that Mr. Hoy or whatever was in.
Mm-hmm.
When they're looking out on that lake.
Yeah, that was, like, so pretty.
So good. I don't know how they found that place, but amazing. I like this little line about dying of survival, even though it was totally over the top, extra dramatic, because it just showed that
she's
in a cardboard box for, like, she's faking her out. Lots of open flames in his in his laboratory setup is what I'll say about Mr. Hoy. He's, like, so extra, but I love it. Like, he's so over the top dramatic. The Scottish guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I know.
But I was living for it. I did notice that, and I think my final note was when Amanita and Nomi are in the woods, and Nomi has that flashback to Angelica, and you know how it's like, oh, she's fighting with her cluster? Someone says the word Nazis, and I was like, of course someone brought Nazis up into this argument, because, like, isn't that what always happens? Someone has to go out and compare someone to Nazis or yep. something. Classic argument. Starter, stopper, whatever.
Yep.
Sorry, I just gave a very brief quick stream of conscious retelling of my notes. So sorry that I jumped all over the place. But I'd say overall I really enjoyed this episode. I think, like, unlike the previous episode, things really happened in this episode. Things are shifting and moving. So I'm kind of liking where it's going. So I'm, like, really excited to be covering the next episode next week.
Yeah. It's been good so far. I liked this episode. I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, but, you know.
Oh, like, for something bad to happen?
Yeah.
Sense8? Yeah. I kind of... Some kind of morbid, creepy part of me really wants to see more of those weird demonic possession things happen again, because, like, that's wild. And I personally like Sense8 more when it's on the zany, crazy, this isn't real side of things, rather than, like, the try-to-be-realistic side of things. I don't think this is the last we've seen of Jonas, because we saw, what's-his-face, the catatonic, do you know that guy who was in that catatonic state?
Yeah.
Who whispered manipulated so he could, like, get back to the Sense8s? Like, I have a feeling we'll be seeing Zombie Jonas very soon, especially if we go back to Chicago.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And I'm kind of living for that idea that he might show up again.
That should be good. I think...
Yeah.
I mean... I guess it'll be really emotional for the Sense8s.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't really care.
We just live for the drama, right?
Yep.
We don't actually live for the drama. We live to watch the drama.
True.
Anyway, any final notes you'd like to say, Melissa?
No.
All right. So let's wrap it up, because this has been an especially long episode for an especially long episode of Sense8.
Well, I guess it fits.
So, yeah, you can... find us on Tumblr, Twitter, Facebook. You can email us about whatever shows and movies you want us to cover next. Brief thing, Melissa, I did hear about something about, what's his name? George R. R. Martin might be producing some kind of apocalyptic sci-fi show set in Africa in the near future. So that could be a really interesting thing for us to cover if that actually ends up being produced.
I haven't heard anything about that.
It's being optioned. I don't really know everything about TV terminology, but it's being optioned, so I guess it's being shopped around to different networks. I think HBO wants it or something, because I guess HBO's been, I don't know, called out for being super white or something. I don't know. This is all stuff I'm hearing surface level, so that could be really interesting. And there's, like, another TV pilot or something being shopped around that also has, like, sci-fi POC stuff going on. So, you know, there could be some interesting shows coming up in the future that we can cover, because I'm always scared that the show's going to end because we don't have anything to talk about. But I think we're good. I think we'll be able to find some more stuff. So, guys, if you know anything that you want us to watch and talk about, let us know. Reach out to us on social media, and we will talk to you next week.